Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In terms of where he is in the protocol, or speculating what that is and the timetable of it, because I've been at this long enough to know that I'm not a medical expert. We got a great deal of confidence in our medical experts and the independent neuro people that are involved in his process, and they'll do their due diligence. When he's available to us, he's available to us. But just from interacting with him and seeing him, it's good to see him. Obviously, he appears to be doing fine and has expressed that, and that's really all I have in terms of intimate details regarding him or his status or what the week could potentially look like.
The injury law firm doing good by doing right with Arthur Motes, former Steeler, presented by Legacy Medical Centers. Mike Tomlin on Mason Rudolph, who remains in the concussion protocol. I have a hard time believing that they are going to let Mason Rudolph, after taking that hit, suffering a concussion, get on a plane, fly, you know, 2,500 miles, whatever it is.
It's like a 5.5-hour flight.
Absolutely.
To potentially get his brains beaten in by Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram on Sunday.
You know why I don't...
The optics of that after...
It would be terrible. Because of the... Even if he had suffered a concussion that was just he gets ear-holed, but he walks off and then they diagnose it, I think there's a chance they would, because it just doesn't look as bad. People thought he died.
Like, legit died. You saw Juju's reaction.
I think Juju fainted
he
a little
really
bit.
He really thought he died.
That was mine on the couch.
So I didn't see him breathe right away. And then Villanueva, who's like been in combat.
Absolutely.
It's like
he's freaking out.
If he's freaking out, you have reason to believe he thinks he just saw a man die.
I think the NFL probably, with truth serum, would look at the whole sequence of events there and what happened with the car and walking off, and looks at that right now as a black eye. And I think it would look even worse if they threw him back out there on Sunday.
Let alone the optics of him being lifeless on the ground for how long as he was. Just the image of him walking with his helmet on and no face mask, and he's telling, "Oh yeah, I'm all right." And we're like,
"Oh, he looked like he looked like an MMA dude
right,
who's gotten knocked out."
You can't say you're all right when you don't even realize you don't have a face mask on right now. Like, just think about
have
that.
Have you ever been knocked out cold like that?
No, I have not, man.
Really?
But I've seen unfortunately seen my fair share of guys who have been knocked out like that, and I see the ramifications of when they've tried to come back in a week. Or guys who've had multiple concussions.
And what are the ramifications, to be clear?
Man, so first off, I take you a guy named Trent Edwards, quarterback in Buffalo. Started out, he was hot, man. He has a concussion. After that, he's not the same. He's gunshot. He gets jumpy. He's anything he sees, he gets nervous around. I take you to another guy, Kevin Cobb, quarterback used to play with the Eagles, with the Cardinals. He was a guy, he said he had so many concussions, his ear would constantly be ringing, his vision's blurry. This is real life. And I'm just saying to myself, hey, those concussions, they add up. And those like that, the ones you saw where he's actually like sleep before he hits the ground, then hits his head again on the ground, they say those are some of the worst ones.
Because there's two impacts.
Absolutely.
There. I remember like the famous, just to describe what you said, him walking off with his face mask off and how clearly out of it he was.
Hey, I'm fine.
And when Mike Tyson got knocked out by Buster Douglas for the first time, that video stuck with me forever because he gets destroyed, obviously,
absolutely,
by the punches. They find... Whoever's in the ring beams it to the broadcaster, and they're actually saying, like, I'm talking 2-3 minutes after the fight ended. He's never, like, lost consciousness. Right. He didn't even know the fight was over. He was so disoriented.
Absolutely.
And out of it.
So
that's what I saw with Rudolph.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. NFL Network last hour ran a graphic that said Devlin Hodges expected to start in L.A. And I think it's based on this answer. We played this at the start of the show because it was about the red-hot story, Tomlin to the Redskins. You're going to hear the back and forth here about Tomlin and the Redskins. And listen to the answer at the end here from Mike.
How surprised were you to hear that you were mentioned as a preferred candidate to be the next head coach of the Washington Redskins?
I'm not worried about that, to be quite honest with you. You were the first person to mention it to me in a public setting. So,
what was your reaction in a private setting?
About the same I'm giving you. You know, guys, I'm the head coach of a 1-4 football team that's going on the road to play a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback with my third quarterback. You think I'm worried about anything this week other than that?
There it is. He just gave the answer away. Right?
This is true.
I'm going into LA to face a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback with my third quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think he was talking about Mason. Yeah, I thought that was a total giveaway.
Can they win in LA with Devlin?
I think they have a better chance than if they had started a healthy Mason. I think he might be the better player. I look at it from this perspective because, man, this has elicited howls of protest from the Mason Rudolph had a first round grade on him crowd. If Devlin Hodges was 6'2", even, which isn't even tall by quarterback standards.
Correct.
He wouldn't have ever played at Samford. He would have been probably like a day two draft pick at worst in the NFL with the way we see the accuracy, throws the ball. Not great arm strength, but it's good enough. The general mobility. He is somebody that obviously there are preconceived kind of labels attached to him because he's 5'10 and a half or 5'11. Sorry, if you can spin it, you can spin it. And Bud Dupree, we give him a hard time on this show, but for Bud to just come out and say, like, he ripped us apart.
Oh, he knows what it's like to get beaten like a drum. And Hodges,
stop
he
it.
Knows it when he
why,
sees
why
it.
Why give him that alley-oop right there? You know, I knew he would jump on that when I saw
like
it.
Chris Paul to DeAndre Jordan, and he was just rising for it.
He but knows it when he sees it.
No, like, I want to
hey,
be
hey,
serious
Bud,
about Hodges.
Hey, Bud,
did
have a big sack this week. Just throwing it out there.
He had the play of the game against Cincinnati, but I wanted to... When I see Hodges go out there as an undersized guy, he's got to fight a bunch of different preconceived notions about the position.
He's Mayfield without the hype. Wears the same number, makes the same kind of plays,
point
same
being,
height.
If you are that guy and you're not Mayfield, you didn't go to Oklahoma and make it at a major college level such that you'd be on everybody's radar. How many things do you have to do right from an FCS school to get on a radar of a team at that position? And then how great do you have to be as a camp arm that they pretty much stash you, cut you, and then hope they can get you back when they trade Josh Dobbs, knowing in the backs of their minds, there's always a slight chance that your third quarterback's going to end up having to play. Look at Luke Falk having to start two games.
Absolutely.
Gardner Minshew played in a Division I school, set records because it was Mike Leach, undersized, not a great arm. Look what he's shown so far. My big concern with him was when they had a full week to prepare, could teams slow him down? They really haven't. They go for two and win. He's got two wins on his ledger already, and he's had three good games as the starter. I think Hodges can actually play. I look at the way that team responded to him. Everybody looked like they knew what they were doing. They didn't shrink the playbook. They didn't do the wildcat at the beginning of the game like they did
Stop
for Mason.
It, man.
They said, go out there and win. And if Juju doesn't fumble, that's exactly what he would have done.
Look at the Ravens' defense. Usually your eyes get big when a third-string guy comes in the game. You're like, we're going to eat here. Mm. And he went in like it was just another backyard football game.
The throw to Juju, here's how good he looked. The throw to Juju that Juju caught, not the one he fumbled, the one he caught going to the ground, at first I thought, man, bad pass, great adjustment, and then I realized he was throwing it behind him deliberately because that's the only place the ball could go on that one.
No, man, when you look at Hodges, I agree. His accuracy is there. And I don't want to make it into a Mason versus Hodges thing.
We'll do that for you.
I know you would.
Yeah, that's
I know
my
who,
job.
Who would you rather have? But I do think that Hodges, what he does well is he moves in the pocket. You saw him move around. You saw when the Ravens would try to pressure him, he was extremely calm under there. Whereas with Mason, we do see a lot of times when he's facing pressure, he doesn't have that same level of mobility. And I think that's why the calls for both quarterbacks look the way they look. In terms of Mason, you see a lot more timing, a lot more getting it out fast. Whereas with Hodges, they didn't mind letting him extend it because they know he has that type of playmaking ability.
He stood in there and made back foot throws,
right,
like where he had, like he found the receiver, but he wasn't on a, what do they say, perfect platform.
Correct. Yes.
And he still got the ball out. And then this is the thing that really impressed me. On that 21-yard scramble, I think a third string guy comes in, heated rivalry game still. He's going to be seeing ghosts out there. The minute he realized he had a chance to step up and make a play after he'd gone through his reads, there was a decisiveness there. Slow heartbeat guy, like whatever you want to call it. He went out. Some guys go out there and they crumble. Some guys pull a steaming Willie Beeman, and he was much more the latter.
Well, and the thing also, when we talk about Duck, just dating back to him in training camp, he was impressing people in training camp. He was impressing people in his first two preseason games. He didn't play in the third one. The fourth one, he had essentially the Cleveland Browns offensive line out there protecting him, which is why it turned out.
And he was throwing
to
guys
out.
Like me and Chris.
True, but the O-line was like his Browns offensive line, which isn't good. Just wanted to let you know your Browns offensive line that's not good.
Man,
I don't know
if you
heard
you
me.
Are twisting the freaking knife today.
Arthur, tell me if this is a good observation. I saw pocket presence with Hodges in this way. If there was pressure, he would stay where he was, or he would almost like, okay, I know I might have to like step into this throw to make it, and maybe I do get clobbered, But it wasn't like the pressure caused him to freak out and panic and, okay, correct, here it comes. I got to get out of here. He's looking down at his feet. He's looking to just get, like, give the ball up to a running back.
His eyes upfield the whole time.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about.
He made one hideous throw, and it was the old golden rules. He violated everyone. Don't throw back across your body. Don't throw to the middle of the field. Don't throw late.
But it was a free play.
I'm not going to give him benefit of the doubt. He didn't know that.
See, I think he did.
I don't think he knew that.
No, that flag comes down as that ball's basically being thrown. Like, he got lucky, but he strikes me as the kind of guy that'll go in there and be like, well, no, I can't do that again.
Right.
So here's my biggest concern with him, though. Can he win? Can they win with him? I think so much in your career, professionally, whether it's in sports or whatever you do, is right place, right time. Going out to Los Angeles, where the Steelers historically never do well on the West Coast, with a Chargers team that is, like, in a must-win situation.
Well, they just pulled their Chargers game with Denver.
I just don't think that's a great place for him to get his first start. And I'm concerned that the Steelers coaches, the faith they put in him because they had to last week, are they going to revert back to, we got to come up with something cute
and something funny? I think he's got a guy in his corner on that who's technically not a coach, who I think is going to prevent them from doing the gimmicky stuff.
Roethlisberger?
I think Roethlisberger loves him.
You might be on
his why. Ben gets overlooked, doesn't get to start till his senior year of high school. As a result, he's at a MAC school. Devlin Hodges is not tall. As a result, he's an FCS quarterback. Ben sees guy like that, been overlooked, been disrespected. I think he gravitates towards that sort of person much more so than a Mason Rudolph, than a Big 12 kind of classic passer. Right. I think Roethlisberger is his biggest ally in that building right now.
And I will say this as well, in terms of them having the new gimmick or whatever wrinkle they want to put in, your gimmick guy is gone for a month.
Right.
And Jalen Samuels, so who
maybe that's a blessing in disguise.
The temptation's gone.
I personally
gone.
Agree, yeah, because now you don't have that unless you're going to try to use Deontay Johnson as some type of
If you're trying
form.
To stop eating sweets, you throw them all in the trash.
He
don't
can't
just hide
do that.
Them. Well, I know. Arthur would have some in the trash can, like underside of the lid, like a bag
ready
to go.
It. You have to embrace it. I embrace it.
How about I know someone, friend through of a friend, who owns like a vintage candy shop in town, who's like, I need to hook Arthur up.
See?
So I'm going to put my
Is
type
that
of person.
The literal thought of like a bull in a china shop? You get in there, your eyes Listen. Go red with like, or like Sour Patch
He's
Kids.
He's a kid in a candy
eyes,
store.
Yeah, your eyes turn into it.
It's kind of like when, you know, you got your little puppies, and when you get that person that knocks on the door and they come over and it's somebody they've never seen, how they go crazy? That's what it's going to be like,
for me. When you watch Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka, you didn't see that as like a cautionary tale. You're yeah, those kids get to go eat all those sweets.
I said, oh, you're in candy heaven. Where is that? Can I go?
So it's looking like it's Hodges against Rivers. I want to ask Arthur coming up next, as a guy that's played against Phillip Rivers, how good is he? When Mike Tomlin calls Phillip Rivers a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, is that really a fair assessment of him as a player? We'll discuss that next. It's the PM team with Arthur Motes on the Fan.
It's always a really challenging thing when you're competing against the likes of Phillip Rivers and what he brings, not only in terms of his talents, his football intellect, and the amount of latitude he's given at the line of scrimmage. We acknowledge that we're playing him in his home environment, and recently we played him here in Pittsburgh, so probably going to have added opportunity to infuse his intellect and know-how on the game at the line of scrimmage via communication and so forth. We better have a good package and plan. Excited about doing that. I know last year when we played him, we were without a number of sub-package defenders, and as the game wore on, he really exploited that. It's good to kind of go in and hopefully with a full complement of sub-package defenders and guys that are capable of matching up against his many weapons, and he's got some.
7 The Fan time is 3:28. It's brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services. Just a dollar can get you new siding. Mike Tomlin, another showdown with Phillip Rivers from the 04 quarterback draft class. The part about the home environment thing for Rivers is complete nonsense.
There's going to be more Steelers fans there.
Without a doubt.
They don't have a home environment. They're playing in a soccer stadium that seats 30,000 people.
It's an intimate setting. Don't say it seats 30,000.
Hold on.
It's an intimate setting.
Do you know what I would do if I were the Chargers and you cared about maybe enough about an environment like that to spend a little money to improve it? Soccer fans, even in America, can be like hooligan types and like crazy.
Yeah.
Pay some people to just be – you root for the Chargers – just cheer the whole freaking game. Get like, well, you know, we're going to give you all $100 or something. They could do this for, you know what I mean?
Like, why don't they do a student rush like the Penguins do
serious.
And get a bunch of like rambunctious Southern California college kids
in
there?
Seriously, and then mix them with a soccer
crowd.
Get
them some edibles.
No, edibles are going to make them down. If it's indica, they're going to be into couch, man. Oh, I mean, that's going to be no. I display.
Why
maybe
they just
too
kept
much
the Chargers in San Diego until the football stadium was built in L.A.? I don't get
I
that
agree
part
with
of
that.
It.
Why did they ever move them from San Diego? Period. It was
better.
It was a devoted enough fan base. That was who was it? Spanos is the owner.
Yeah.
So that was a move of a team that I recall even the NFL that loves when owners like try to hold cities hostages for this stuff. Even the NFL powers that be, I don't think the rest of the owners and Goodell were happy about
this. They wanted
this.
The Raiders and Rams in L.A.
Correct. Because
and they
the
wanted
Chargers
the Chargers
have no
in
buzz.
Vegas or in San Diego. They wanted a new stadium in San Diego. They didn't get it. You were there when Vic started that
Absolutely.
Game that Tomlin referenced earlier.
Yeah.
The Chargers had to use the silent count in that game that was
booed,
so loud.
They booed the Chargers coming off for introductions. That's the biggest thing I remembered. I remember we came out, Pittsburgh Steelers, terrible towels, everybody going nuts. They say, oh, in the San Diego Chargers. Ooh. We're like, oh, wow, it's like that. And, yeah, those guys were heated. They hated it, but we fed off of that. That's the one thing I remember. We fed off of it so much. And even as a defense, being out there, you feed off of that energy, especially when you turn a road stadium into your home stadium.
Do you feel like Phillip Rivers is deserving of the Hall of Fame quarterback label Mike Tomlin put on him?
I do. I think he has the numbers to support it. I think that he's had a ton of success.
Now you're giving me the non-athlete answer.
This is real.
You played against him.
Absolutely.
When you answer it that way, you're telling me based on squaring off against him, he didn't look like a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No.
He did.
I do. I feel like he did. I think he's more of a Hall of Fame quarterback than Eli Manning.
Wow.
Absolutely. When we play Eli, you heard Ryan Clark say it. He's going to hit you with the ball. You were never scared of Eli. Never. You're saying, hey, okay, if they got Odell, this is the guy you got to watch out for. If they don't have a running game, we're not worried about that. Their defense is going to be good, but never Eli. Whereas when you're playing the Chargers, it's like, hey.
It's Rivers.
You know, it's Rivers. And, you know, at the time, it was Gates. Those were the two. You're like, Rivers and Gates. That's what you got to make sure you stop.
You know what? I would put him on the Hall of very, very good. Like, he's on the cusp, but I wouldn't put him in. It's because in the early portion of that, it was Rivers, Gates, and Tomlinson. And he didn't get it done when he had those stacked rosters. They would constantly find ways to come up short. As a ball player, though, I've come to respect him more later in his career. I could never get past that dopey throwing motion, but everyone says the ball comes out, and he absolutely slings it, man.
Well, and the thing is, sometimes it's you can have success being unorthodox. I do. I feel like he did. I think he's still very active.
The guys on the team say that he threw, like, a tough football to defend. Like, it came out with a lot of zip, and it was active.
I think it was one of those things where we always say the same thing of he's very smart. He knows where to go with the ball. And he's going to put it in the right place. We didn't really get on the motion. We knew that, hey, if you're at the line of scrimmage, always put your hands up because he has that wacky release motion. But other than that, you still felt that, hey, he's more than capable of getting the job done. Whereas the conversation about Eli Manning is drastically different when you're playing against him or preparing for him.
Here's a question. Is Rivers still good enough? Because he's had a couple really good games this year and then two stinkers, including last week. If you grafted him immediately onto the Steelers, are they the even at 1-4 the favorite in the division?
Yes. Absolutely. Oh my God, is that
he
even
would be
a
the
question?
Best quarterback in the division. It's not even close.
I'm wondering if he's that good of a player that he takes them and probably goes.
I know Pony doesn't want to
give the rest of the way.
I know Pony doesn't want to give the defense credit, but this defense has been playing really well lately. So you put Rivers out there with that defense, without a doubt.
I
call it the new and improved Steelers defense. I'm coming around.
Here's why
all the backhand compliments, man. Just give them a real genuine compliment.
Hold on.
Look them in the eyes when you compliment them.
Here's why I brought up that thing that you both scoffed at. Like, duh, of course. Why I would say he's not a Hall of Famer is, in his career, there have been so many times when you're like, oh, obviously this Phillip Rivers-led team should be dope, and then they go belly up. Like, if you grafted him onto the Steelers today in this hypothetical, people would be so excited here. Holy crap, season's going to turn around. You'd look up, they'd be 6-10, and you'd go, how on earth did that happen? They got Phillip Rivers 5 games in.
I don't think
That's like the story of his career for me.
I thought they had the best team, the most balanced team in the NFL.
Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
No.
But Eli is, though.
Well, no. Like, my personal like requirement for the Hall of Fame is much greater than what Canton does.
Okay.
So I wouldn't have either one of those guys.
Hall of Fame quarterbacks going today. By your, like, Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, and Mahomes is on the track to be there, right?
Yeah,
like
of guys that are playing right now, yep.
That's basically how I look at it. Like, by my personal Hall of Fame, I think Ben would have a hard time. He'd have to win another Super Bowl and have, like, 3 more really good years, and then I'd be like, okay.
Do you think that Rivers – do you put Rivers and Ben in the same sentence?
I don't. I think Ben's the better quarterback. I do. I think that
Ben's what separates the two?
The big games, obviously. When you see Ben, well,
what
perform,
is it about Ben that makes him better in a big game than Rivers?
I think he just shows up mobility a lot more, and he finds a way to win. He finds a way to have those defining moments in those defining games, and that's what Rivers
like Eli
lacks.
Manning has. I mean, Rivers absolutely lacks.
Rivers, I think, his throwing motion is so weird because he runs like he's got two pianos strapped to his back. That if you were going to ask me though to answer Pony's question, because Pony unfortunately did not address it to me because I never played in the NFL.
But you're Muller. You're the boss. Come on, man.
The thing about
that.
Rivers that I think it makes him lesser than Ben in big games is Ben could escape trouble with his feet, mm-hmm. and Ben could make plays on the run. Rivers will make a play here and there out of the pocket, but if you
that's
collapse the
game
pocket, he's in big trouble.
Absolutely.
Okay, coming up next, is Mike Tomlin closer to firing his special teams coach? Listen to what he said about the Steelers special teams again today, and we'll react to that next. It's the PM team with Arthur Motes on the Fan.
Make no mistake, it's dual responsibility. When you have a dynamic kickoff return game, it's because you got guys that block well, and you got a returner that's vertical and is capable of making people miss.
All right, Mike Tomlin there on what has become an eyesore, Steelers special teams.
Tony.
Yes, Chris.
I know Holton got crushed on the first return attempt, so Switzer came out. Man, I know Ryan Switzer had about a 13-yard punt return in a crucial spot in that game where he actually did make the first wave miss and then scoot to the sideline. Smart return, good heady play. I don't know what it is. Whenever I watch a lot of NFL games, obviously, and it feels like very unique to them. The Steelers kick return unit, when the ball is kicked in the field of play, which Tucker is absolutely good enough to do, to keep kicking it consistently to like the 2-yard line.
Absolutely.
It feels, Arthur, I don't know, like they are going in slow motion. The play looks so slow to develop. And I've seen kickoff returns that look like that go for touchdowns because a guy hits the seam,
right,
the wall gets set up correctly and it works. So I get it. But there's never, ever works. So then I wonder to myself, why, if you are disenchanted as the head coach with your special teams performance in that crucial area, kick returns, mm-hmm. such that you would defer the ball in overtime, why is your special teams coach still employed? Or why has he not gotten a severe reprimand by the head coach? I don't get it.
I think the answer to that is this. When we talk about the special teams, and I'm sure we're just focusing on this Ravens game because last week that wasn't the case. Last week people were talking about the special teams unit looking good. Boswell's hitting his field goals. The punt's going well. Coverage units are doing well. So that's the difference in, you know, the week-to-week element of this business. But I think the biggest thing that they're lacking is when we talk about the return game in particular, that matchup versus the Ravens is always tough because of what Tucker can do with the ball. We've seen multiple kickers try that. Even here in Pittsburgh, Boswell's tried that. It's difficult to do in terms of the hang time for 5 seconds and then being able to place it in the player field because most people say, oh, just let it bounce in the end zone. The problem is it won't bounce in the end zone. It will stick there on that 2 or bounce to the 5, and now you're stuck with a terrible situation because of the amount of time their coverage units have had to come down there. But I think when we talk about the return, man, when they put Switzer back there for kickoff returns, I personally don't agree with that. I think that as a punt returner, hey, he does a good job in terms of catching it, getting what he can get out of it. But I think that Deontay Johnson is more of the guy, or even a Johnny Holton, because they have the speed that can scare you a little bit or that make you miss ability that can scare you a little bit. I'm not seeing that right now with Switzer.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. That's Arthur Motes, who excelled on special teams throughout his NFL career. So we need to give his comments a little extra weight when he makes them. Their return game, I'm looking at Football Outsiders here. They rank the Steelers' return. This is not just against Baltimore. They've got them 30th in the NFL out of 32 teams, out of only Dallas and Arizona. It hasn't been good. It doesn't help that they cut, I thought, their best return man in the preseason was Deontay Spencer.
I
thought. And they
I
let
agree
him go.
100%.
Why? Why would they? Like, they had one of the worst average starting field position spots last year where they would start drives was routinely, I think the stat was 31 out of 32 teams last season. Mm-hmm. You had somebody under your nose who in theory could have helped with that. Mm-hmm. And for some reason you decided not to keep them. And as we've seen from the list of current Steelers wide receivers, it's not as if they had so much depth and talent at the position that it made sense to let that guy walk.
Well, I think they were, in their minds, pot committed to Switzer having to be on the roster because Roethlisberger loved him as like his little security blanket receiver, his sure-handed guy. So there's one.
Well, how about Holton?
Okay, so that's my point. I think there's a misevaluation here with Holton versus Spencer and who is more valuable to you. It's hard for me not knowing if was there like some subtlety to what Spencer was or wasn't doing in his other special teams roles, whatever they might have been. But man, it would have had to be a pretty big stinking deal to not find a way to keep him on the roster.
Well, and that's kind of what I was going to hint to when we talk about the value for that essential fifth, sixth wide receiver spot is what can you do from a special team standpoint. Now, I agree with you in terms of Deontay Spencer being the better return man, but if going in you felt that you were going to use Switzer in that role, well, now you're saying, okay, well, where else can Deontay Spencer help me at? You know Holton could be a gunner. You've seen him make plays on kickoff. That's not Spencer's game. And I think that's where you kind of get that element. And when we talk about the return game in particular and kickoff return, I tell people all the time, you can have the best blockers you want, but if you don't have a dangerous return man back there, if you don't have somebody to scary back there, it does not matter. When we played covering kicks, we could care less who the guy in front of you trying to block you is. You're just trying to think about who's that return guy. The scary situation you're looking in is DeSean Jackson. Or is Tyreek Hill?
It's Devin Hester.
It doesn't matter who. Man, Muller, you can be out there blocking if Devin Hester's returning. It does not matter. We're kicking away from
Dante Hall, when he was returning all those kicks, there would be no blocking.
Absolutely.
He would just make three dudes miss. You know what else, Pony, you just kind of jogged my thoughts on this. They also put Switzer on the team because Ben likes him and has a good rapport with him. And if you have a team quarterbacked by Ben Roethlisberger, you do not feel that the kick and punt return game is as essential because you work under the assumption that your offense is going to be good enough most of the time to surmount that. And
back to what I always say about Tomlin's teams. They're not the most buttoned up unit. They're not the most disciplined unit.
That's a reasonable thing to assume, though. That's a reasonable thing to assume at the time that it's more important to make the franchise quarterback happy as far as one little roster spot goes than it is to try to pack it with special team bases.
Arthur, I've never heard Tomlin, and he didn't. You heard the clip. He did not do it as much today, but on Sunday, I thought when he talked about the OT decision, he completely threw Danny Smith right under the Greyhound. I mean, he absolutely...
Just why would he be... That's why I asked. I know I'm putting you on the spot. I mean, it's like, okay, I get it. I'm not trying to be harsh to Danny Smith.
Why? Harsh. The guy's in his 60s. Well, he's made a lot of money. He can get on with his life work.
But all
they're also
is
one
this.
Of the most penalized special teams in the NFL. Year in, year out, there's a flag every other time they're on the field.
I want to see the stats on that, too. I know last year they were. I say last year, definitely. I want to see the years from 14 to 17, though. Just
why? Because you were on those teams?
I just want to check it. That's all I'm saying. I want to check. That's all I want to do.
You have Moats go away, and suddenly everything goes to hell.
Let's talk about this.
But seriously.
How about special teams penalties that have lost them games? Daniel McCullers this year.
Absolutely.
Yep. How about last year against the Chargers when they were jumping off sides on field goals left and right?
Mm-hmm. I look at it and say...
that didn't cost them the game. They were already going to kick
field goal. Mike Tomlin is a guy who I think tends not to air out his coaching staff.
Correct.
If you are going to go to the degree where you say that about how bad you were getting worked over, and the only softening of it is, well, Tucker's basically an alien as a kicker, but that doesn't change the rest of this, you might as well cut bait and say, Danny, like, this ain't it.
I looked at it as more so one of the ultimate signs of respect to what Justin Tucker is able to do. That's kind of how I viewed it, because I don't think he makes that comment if it's any other kicker, but I don't think you're in that position
if it's
any other kicker.
So do you think if that game goes to overtime and it's Steelers-Browns,
I don't think
they're taking the ball?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I thought what he said about Tucker doing that every time was disingenuous. When he talked about field position, because the first kickoff of the game, Holton should have taken a knee. Right? I mean, that was not a play where Tucker put it right at the 1 yard line and Holton's I'm screwed.
But you notice cause and effect, Holton caught the ball and took it out, and it was a terrible return. And Tucker
guess what?
From now on, I'm kicking the ball right to the 1 because these guys don't have it.
But that's again coaching, Chris.
But no, I could tell you for a fact, though, Tucker's been doing this. Whenever we play in Baltimore, that's all we talk about. Hey, these guys on film, they look like they're flying down. You know why? Because by the time you catch the ball, they're already inside the 20. And then we're starting to look like, no, these are average athletes out here on kickoff coverage. It's just him being able to put that ball up
but
in the air.
But the Ravens have been the best special teams in the league for a long time, and it's not just Tucker. It's their punters and return games, too.
Oh, the return game, without a doubt. But who are their returners? They've had Jacoby Jones, who was highly successful, correct?
Yep.
It comes down to that type of stuff.
Well,
man,
they evaluate those players better then, right?
It's hard to say.
How do you determine who's going to be a good
like, right. I saw Jacoby Jones here. He looked like our traffic guy trying to return the kickoff.
But he might have been a little bit past his prime. Let's be real.
I think Jacoby might have had a Ravens uniform underneath his Steelers jersey at that point.
If we're thinking about that same Ravens game, he might have been the only person.
No. So when I think about it, though, when I think of Tucker kicking the ball where he wants to, I also think Pony says, why does Holton take it out? If you're the special teams coach and you're a guy returning kicks, you're not out there taking knees. You want to go out there and make a play, and I
agree.
Think that's something that you have to fight against,
right,
tendency-wise.
Fanweather, we got to run here. Brought to you by Sun Chevy. Route 19 in the South Hills. Join Sun on Tuesday, October 15th. Help them support the fight against breast cancer. Arthur Motes in studio with us. One diehard Steelers fan wants Mike Tomlin to leave for the Redskins, and no, it's not me.
I was going to say,
somebody
why are you calling yourself a diehard Steelers fan? This is so weird.
Somebody else with a much bigger platform. I want you to hear it, and you can tell us if you agree or disagree with it. Coming up next is the PM Team on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.